Well, folks, this comes to an end of our short study that we've had on some of the characteristics, the attributes of God. And we have looked at the glory of God, the mercy of God, the power of God. And I thought it might be appropriate, especially in a world where wherever you look, here is a big word, change. I'm going to ask you, how many of you have ever heard of climate change? Just indicate. How many of you are sick of hearing about climate change? How many of you are tired of hearing about how the economy, inflation? You know, sometimes you look at every area of life, I don't care what it is, but all you hear is change, change, change. And yet it's really interesting that in the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer there says, there is nothing new under the sun. When we got our mortgage, it was 17.5%. You people who have been basking in 3% for so long should be grateful. There is nothing new under the sun. And I think that what the writer is saying, Solomon is saying, is this, that okay, the superficial things of life, there are fluctuations. But the basic, fundamental, essential things of life always remain the same. And I think that is something this week that I've thrown over in my mind and heart again and again as we were singing that hymn. You know, that's one of my favorite choruses, Faithful One, So Unchanging. Fantastic words. What is it that you can depend on in this world if it's not that? I remember the first time we're going to the book of Malachi this morning, we're going to chapter 3, just the end of chapter 2 and chapter 3. We're going to read it together. And I remember the first time that I read this book, I'm going to come back and, yeah, that's a bit better. I don't know what I did in that first slide, but that's a bit better. I remember the first time that I read this many years ago. And you know people who say, out of date, the Bible. Out of touch, the Bible. Old-fashioned, the Bible. I remember reading the book of Malachi and said, whoa, 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 whoa. The people in Malachi's day were exactly like people today. You get to chapter 1, and here were a people, look at chapter 1, verse 2, a people who denied the love of God. Wherein have you loved us? How often have you ever heard someone saying to you, surely if God is a God of love, why does he? Now, right? Hear that all the time. You try to talk to somebody about God, that's, oh, wherein have you loved us? And yet there was this superficial religion. Oh, wow, here I can identify with that. We want to sprinkle babies. What is it they call it? There's a name for it that I've just forgotten. Whenever you're young, whenever you get married, and whenever you die, you want the church, whenever you... Those three stages of life. People still want their little bit of religion. Anybody remember what that is? Shout it out. Hatch, match, and dispatch. That's it. We want a wee bit of religion. We can't have life without our wee bit of religion. We want to bury everybody that they're going to heaven. But yet 99.999% of the Lord time, let's just forget about God altogether. And it was exactly the same in Malachi's day. And what about you go through chapter 2? You know, not only were they giving to God superficially and they were giving to God second best, they were giving to God that which was blemished. Well, what about the spiritual leaders? There was no spiritual leadership. And it's interesting in Malachi's day and in Jesus' day, how often the target of what God has to say went to the spiritual leaders. Oh, Lord, raise up spiritual leaders, please. If ever we needed them, we need them today. Is that true? It's true. And then by the time you get to the end of chapter 2, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi is the last word from God. God is about to be silent for 400 plus years. Now just think about that. 400 plus years, God is tired. He is not going to speak. And so he comes and he says, oh, where are the spiritual leaders? And by the time you get to the end of chapter 2 and verse 17, what you discover is not only have they denied the love of God, but they begin to deny the justice and existence of God. Where is the God of justice? Do you read it? Do you see it? People then become skeptical. From denying a God of love, they move to the fact, there's no God. Where is he? They start to call evil good at the end of chapter 2. And maybe we'll just pick it up there because I think that might be a good place to read from. So we're Malachi chapter 2, and we pick it up at verse 17. Malachi says, "You've wearied the Lord with your words. How have you wearied him, you asked, by saying, 'All we do evil or good in the eyes of the Lord?' We ever live in a day when good is evil and evil is good? And he is pleased with them." Or we say, "Where is the God of justice?" And then you get this wonderful promise. God says, "See, I will send my messenger." There are two messengers in this. I believe they're two different messengers, by the way. It's a prophecy of John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus, the one who will prepare the way for Messiah. "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant," that's the Lord Jesus, "whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." Oh yes, you are all looking for God to come. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice." And summed up in this little phrase, "But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, 'How are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me.'" We'll stop there. And as I've said, looking at it, the first thing that absolutely springs out from those passages, man has not changed. From the fall in the Garden of Eden to the 28th of August 2022, I'm so pleased with myself for remembering today's date. The 28th of August 2022, man has not changed. You know, you think about the whole lie of evolution. You think about the whole myth that we educate people into civilization, into being civilized, acting civilized. That what people need is to be taught. And sometimes all it does is make people clever devils. Isn't that right? All the social programs, all the excuses that people make for the most horrendous crimes, it's exactly the same today as it ever was. And I think sometimes we need to, this is a strange thing to say to you this morning, but that is an encouragement. Now, I'm not saying that in Romans chapter 1 there isn't a depravity that is increasing in the world, because that's what we're told. The darkness is going to increase before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. But those basic fallen nature, total depravity, is exactly the same today. Giving God the leftovers, that which is blemished, and unspiritual leadership. But to me, the message that I want to leave with you, this is the last time I preach I want to leave with you this truth. If there is a rock in my life that has been there over the years, it is the truth that whatever happens, you know, we know this, don't we? The things in life that we hold precious are on very fine threads. Our lives can change just in a moment. We have no idea what a day will bring forth. Isn't that true? So if we live in, people talk about uncertain times, if we live in a depraved and fallen world, what is it that holds us? It has to be this truth. That just as Malachi says, just as it was with your forefathers, so it is with you. You've gone away from mine ordinances or my decrees and have not kept them. Just as it was, down through the years, been patiently coming to you again and again, blessing you, reviving you, protecting you, and yet you've turned your back on me, you've rebelled. And then he says, but I am the Lord. I don't change. You think about the hymn writer, I put this up. I started this week just lying in bed in the morning, started to think of all the different hymn writers or chorus writers or songwriters who were inspired by the immutability, the unchangeableness of God. What they sing at the FA Cup final, abide with me, change and decay in all around I see. But thou who changes not, abide with me. That was written by a minister who was actually going through a terrible time. What was his rock? It was the fact that God was always the same. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Hallelujah. Tremendous. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. I was thinking about that. They said, praise him for his grace and favor to our fathers in distress, but praise him still the same forever. He's slow to chide. He's swift to bless. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Glorious in his faithfulness. And that's the word that we link whenever we think about the unchangeableness of God. I think about the faithfulness of God. How faithful is the one that we adore. How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend. His love is as great as his power and knows neither measure nor end. Is Jesus the first and the last? His spirit shall lead us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past. We'll trust him for all that's to come. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same. Hebrews 13 verse 8, yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Are you starting to get excited today? Do you start to understand today what God wants to say to us today? Do you want to blow away the cobwebs of doubt and fear? Some of you are worried about finances. Some of you are worried about your family. Some of you are worried about your future. Dear friends, we ought to be at the forefront of those who are filled with, here's the word, H-O-P-E, hope. And the reality of that has come home to me several times over the years. I remember the first mission I think I ever did was January 1975 in Macrofelt, in the old hall, in the Cookstown Road. There was snow, there was ice, it was a youth mission. And every morning at 7 o'clock, between 20 and 40 young people made their way to pray in that hall. The sense of the presence of God, it was real. Has God changed? Is he any different? He's exactly the same today. Remember one night we asked, he'd been an old wino in the town, Scotty McGrath. He'd got saved, so we brought him up, and I thought, this is what young people need to hear. Scotty, come and give your testimony. Oh, no, no, no. I'll ask you a few questions. You answer them. Once you asked him a question, he was like Jim Duggan. If anybody ever remembers Jim Duggan, once you started him, you couldn't stop him. And I remember saying to him, Scotty, what does it mean to you today to be a Christian? And he said something that has stayed with me over the years. He says, it's great to get up in the morning and feel clean. Now, he wasn't speaking about personal hygiene. I'm sure that improved. What Andrew's liver salts used to be able to do. He was talking about a cleanliness of the conscience, a cleanliness of the soul, a freedom from guilt. Do you know, that is so precious. And you see, if I link that just for a moment, whenever we were first saved, people used to have wee texts on their cars or fish in the back of their cars. Do you remember that? That was a thing that Christians did for a while. Well, we had a text in our car that said, Jesus said, come unto me. And Sheila was teaching in Derry stroke London, Derry stroke Maiden City stroke, whatever you want to call it. And on one occasion, she came out of the school with an older teacher. I still remember Ella Armstrong, am I right? And she looked at the text and she says to Sheila, that text is wrong. And she said, why? It shouldn't be Jesus said, come unto me. It should be Jesus says, come unto me. That had an unbelievable, just for a moment. Why did I wear this morning? This was designed by Jane. Shane's Jane. You know what I mean. Jane. And I changed it from Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundant. No. If Jesus is alive today, we shouldn't be thinking constantly, Jesus said, I am the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the truth. No. Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the light. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I believe and love and follow and serve a living Savior, then that ought to be communicating itself. And I know some people, I've got these made, some people, because of that, and obviously some of them because of the version, you know, said, oh no, you can't say that. Oh yes, I can. And so whenever I come to that moment where I think of, here we have an unchanging God, Hebrews 6 is up there, who has an unchanging purpose in life, to build his church, to extend his kingdom, to save his people, to care for his sheep, to prepare for his return, then it's always in the present tense, yesterday and today and forever. Jesus really is the same. Isn't that tremendous? Please, somebody. Yeah. Let's get a wee bit excited this morning, and if anybody faints, I'll revive them. Okay? Let's just try and get a little bit excited about some of the greatest truths that we have. That's the rock of our faith. James 1, verse 17. James 1, verse 17 is lovely because it's in that hymn that I said, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Where in the old version it says, God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. With him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The modern version says, he is the giver of every good and perfect gift, but he does not change like shifting shadows. Isn't that a tremendous thought? Like every day we live in that perpetual world where those things that we've been speaking about are going to change. I have advised you not to watch the news every day. I don't think it's good for us spiritually because it's the same old. I encourage you every day to think and meditate and pray to one who never changes. And I think that would actually make an incredible difference to our spiritual lives. My God doesn't change. My Savior, whenever I'm in trouble, we sang it. What is it through the storms? The fact that He's there and He's the same. And that means this, listen, it means that God doesn't love me any less than He did when He saved me. It means that God doesn't love me any more than He did when He saved me. It means that God doesn't love me any less whenever I fall. He doesn't love me any more whenever I'm doing what He wants. It means that God loves me exactly the same every moment of every day. That is tremendous thought. And you see, what happens is that the devil comes and lets you, oh, you feel God. You've let Him down. What a mess you are. Throw in the towel, give up. And God says, no, no, I've set my love upon you. And that's the great thing about Malachi. I'm going to send my messenger. He's going to prepare the way. I'm going to send my Messiah, the messenger of the covenant. He's going to come and He's going to redeem Israel. Why? God's love for you this morning is exactly the same as when Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. But you know, God's demands haven't changed either. And we'll finish with this. God comes to His people over and over again. I want you to see this. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. The death knell of Christianity is whenever we lost out on convincing people that Christianity was not about intellectually assenting to something, believing something in your head. That God always demands action. Jesus says, come unto me. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Repent. There's always something that God calls us to do. Let the wicked man forsake his ways. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. But there must be the forsaking before the forgiveness. There must be the confession before the cleansing. And I think we need to simply declare that. We don't convince people of that. We simply declare it. God says, return, repent, come unto me. There's not a formula, there's not a prayer, simple repeat that you can pray, simply pray and come into the kingdom. There's not a church that you need to join. There's not a sacrament you need to take. There's a person you need to submit to, and there's a person you need to follow. And Jesus says, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Come to me, and I will make you clean. Return to me, and I will return to you. Action, direction, and salvation. Where are you this morning? Some of you play with the gospel, you play with Christianity. Some of you are so sold out for Jesus, it just blesses my soul to see it. Some of you need to hear God's voice. All of us need to hear God's voice this morning. And somebody said to Him, here I am, Lord. I'm coming. I'm coming home. I'm coming now. I'm home to stay. I've been away. Lord, take me as I am. Let's pray. Father, for preacher and hearers alike this morning, we just plead with You that as we come to You just now, in our hearts, that You would come to us. As we draw near to You, that, Lord, You would draw near to us. Lift burdens this morning. Forgive sin this morning. Answer the big questions with the greatest answer, the Lord Jesus Christ, right now, Lord. Here and now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.